Listen, I say listen. It's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and the hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. O Zion, messengers of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout it and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming.
So Satan comes and tries to take the word out of your heart, the word of God. If he is successful, he gets your joy because joy is a product of something that was spoken by God. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength, when you lose your joy, you become weak, you become helpless, unable to overcome. You become an open target for Satan's attacks.
So remember what Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8, verse 10. God's word produces joy, and joy produces strength. So here we are in the book of John 16, 22. And you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, says the Lord, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take away from you. We have seen that if no man can take your joy, neither can Satan. He does not have the legal right to do that unless you give him that right. So let's fill our cups with joy as we feast on the Word of God. You are listening to the Gospel Trail.
No one said it would be easy to let go of all the worry, but it can be done. He has paid the price, and his mercy runs to every broken life. We will never be worthy of his healing, but all he asks of you is that you would be willing. When the road becomes too rough, when you're ready to give up, when you're crying out for love, God is faithful. When your peace cannot be found, he will.
And that was Liz, recorded in our living room on her Boston piano. God is faithful. And now, let's talk about your joys and concerns. We all have them. And here they are, your hosts, saints on a mission from God.
And we pray for discernment. We pray for your wisdom. We pray that we speak your words, Lord. So we just dedicate and commit the rest of this time to you. For you are wonderful. We trust you. We love you. We bless you. We glorify you in all that we in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
I thought I heard another voice in there.
Yeah, this is Kevin here.
Was it?
I knew it was either Kevin or God, I think.
Well, which is it?
They have very similar voices.
Similar voice.
Welcome, Kevin.
Yeah, hi there.
Yeah, this is the first time I've called in for this. And so how do we approach today? You had joys, concerns, and prayer. That we should speak about that and things that are going on in our lives. So why don't we start with you, Kevin?
Yeah, I was just thinking of joys, concern, and always has to be followed by prayer.
That's right.
Because that's the way God made it. Yeah, we should celebrate the joys and not forsake the concerns, because there are concerns presented to us daily, and we need to pray about it or ask God for his intervention or guidance. So.
Yeah, that's so true, because as I watch regular television, my spirit is just bombarded and becomes darkened, becomes clouded.
Yep, and, that's right.
Because there's so much negativity. That's the hard part. And there's so much judgment. All these political ads is judgment and accusations. And it's like, it's really ungodly. I mean, it really is ungodly. I was watching a debate, and one of the questions that the moderators asked, what good thing can you say about your opponent? And it was hilarious, because the guy had to wait, had to spend some moments thinking about that, and he says, "Well, his smile," and and the other, and it's like, wow. And the other one said, "Well, I know he's a great family man. He's a good father, a good provider, and things like that." And it's like, why do we not? That's one of my prayer requests too, is because I just can't deal with all the negative political things that are being said. I mean, what is the purpose other than tearing and ripping apart a fellow human being that is made in God's image? That's why I wanted to bring it in. We are made in God's image. So why do we do that to each other? And it's nasty. It's terrible. It's not, there's no, that's not a fruit of the spirit. What is being said is not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control.
Right.
It's slander. It's malice. I mean, I look at bad fruit, I'm just kind of reading this list here. Evil desires, malice, slander, jealousy, factions, impurity, idols, hatred, envy, greed, anger, deceit. And it's like, that's been really impacting my heart and spirit. And that's why I want to pray that the Lord would shake us up. All the people that are with these political ads, shake them up and say, no, stop this. Stop this. This is not giving me any glory at all. And it's not pleasing to me. That's one of the questions that I've had that I do on a daily basis, is what I am doing, is what I'm endeavoring to do, is it pleasing to God or displeasing to God?
Well, I think they've just got... concerning debates or the political ads are part of the debate. They cling on to one or two things that they want to run on. And when they get, whatever happened to, calling them my worthy opponent? you know, give the guy some respect, guy or girl, and
work the opponent, yes,
and share ideas. I mean, if they both have good ideas, why is it all or nothing, you know, or my way or the highway, as it's portrayed today?
Because they want to win. That's the bottom line. And well, they figure, well, they, if they say anything positive, they're done for.
That's right. That's right.
That's so sad, Don, what you're just saying. That's just so sad. That is just sad.
Even the phrase worthy opponent assumes that they are worthy in some way, that they are worthy of consideration, and they're trying to make the point they're not worthy of consideration. And it is such a vicious world. I don't remember this kind of viciousness in the past. Now, maybe it was there and I just didn't see it, but it is vicious.
I think it's always been there, but it's just so so magnified. It's like instead of a slow fuse, it's a fast fuse, you know, the internet. It can just, those ideas are just, whether good or bad, are just spread like wildfire.
That's right. Yep, that's right.
So that is a concern.
So what can we do about that?
Oh, I think we can pray about it. I was reading about repentance in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there must be a sweeping revival of repentance before Christ returns. However, it must not be just the lost who fall before the Lord in heartfelt repentance. It must be the church,
right.
You know, the body of Christ, who humbles themselves under the mighty hand of God in sincere repentance. And this may sound strange to people, but the church history proves that it is not the world system, the lost, or even Satan that usually hinders the movement of God's Spirit. Yeah, let that one sink in.
Wow.
And that came after, praying a little bit, and God was just saying, don't pray, prophesy. And I think that's what we need to do today as preachers, prophesy prayer, and not speaking something into existence, but the joy we talk about can only, as it says in the intro to this podcast, joy can only come from something that God has said, His words. And that's what the world is trying to form here, is, a world, a perfect world, or else they're after, they're after either money or power. And then they also, if you look at some of the motivation, and anything, nothing will stop them from getting that, except losing an election. But then they don't stop there. They, either side would claim that the, election was stolen these days. And they even tell you that in advance now.
As a prelude to midterms too.
That's right. And that's when they get stuck with the reality that yes, people will vote and basically pull out all the stops, as the phrase goes. But they're looking for success. And even a woodpecker owes his success to the fact that he uses his head. And
that's good.
And that's biblical. That's biblical. The wise have eyes in their head, but fools walk in darkness. And that's Ecclesiastes 2, verse 14 in the newly revised standard version. How about the old standard version?
Yeah.
The lost, then, are not hindering God's move. And I think a lot of places Satan is not hindering God's end time outpouring either. It's the very heart cry of the world, and you can hear it come out in these different ways, that it's give us an alternative to sin, pain, fear, and destruction. You know, they're all looking for an alternative. They are waiting for the church to rise up and lead them into the kingdom of God. And that's also biblical. Comes from Romans 10, 14 through 15. So that is, yeah, that was my concern today. Similar to Sandy, things that just the world puts on you daily in a daily barrage in one form or another. I was reading an article by CNN, and it says our pets are part of the climate problem. And here's some tips that can help you minimize their carbon paw prints. Now, isn't that important? I mean, isn't that important for everyone to know? And you know, and help me here. Here's the editor's note. It says, sign up for their, you know, newsletter. Their 7-part guide helps you minimize your personal role in the climate crisis and reduce your eco-anxiety.
Another kind of anxiety. Okay.
Help me, guys. You know, our four-legged friends don't drive gas-guzzling SUVs or use energy-sucking appliances, but that doesn't mean they don't have a climate impact. In fact, researchers have showed that pets play a significant role in the climate crisis.
Significant.
Significant.
Wow.
I mean, am I going to have to get rid of my dog now?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, significance can be one out of a million. That can be significant in some cases. So it doesn't mean it's practically significant. It just means that it's statistically significant, which quite frankly can mean nothing, mean really nothing on a practical level. So,
and that's you hit it there, the practical level. yeah,
that's just insanity.
I mean that's just, you got to give a woodpecker credit. He uses his head to get what he wants.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's all I hear is peck, 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 yeah. Peck, peck, you know, peck, peck. Have you ever been in the woods and heard half a dozen woodpeckers going at it at the same time?
Oh, yeah. I lived in a home that had some trees.
Yep, or the side of your...
Or
the side of your building.
Yeah.
I think it was...
I've heard that, too. Yeah.
You know, or they hit the drain pipe on the way down and it bump, 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 bump. I mean, it's annoying. But, like, this article is just one of many and different levels. They made the statement that your pets have a significant climate impact. And then they come on with a statement that says their meat-heavy diet is the biggest contributor to the carbon paw print.
Oh.
Now, remember.
There it is.
Remember, they were trying to get rid of, or suggesting, we get rid of cattle because of their emissions. There's too much, too much gas produced in the from the back end of cattle. So
yeah, too much methane.
Methane. There you got it. Too much methane.
Yeah.
And but that's why, you know, they're. Their meat-heavy diet requires an abundance of energy, land, and water to produce, and the production of pet food emits huge amounts of planet-warming gases. There you go. Your pets are killing the world. Yep, they've got your statistics here, Don. According to a 2017 study, that's somebody that is using their head. Feeding dogs and cats create the equivalent of around 64 million tons of carbon dioxide in the U.S. each year. That's roughly the same impact as 13.6 million cars on the road. Wow. So if our furry friends formed a separate country, it would rank fifth in global meat consumption behind China, the U.S., Brazil, and Russia, according to a UCLA professor.
One professor.
So now they want your responsible owners to consider making significant changes to their pet's diet. You are not a responsible owner if you continue to feed your pet, you know, dog food. Bag of dog food. I had to get a special kind. Supposedly it's easier digesting because my dog had problems with the cheaper dog food. And so that's the minute here. Something is making crazy noises in the room here. There we go. I shut it off. No, anyway, so I end up now with the price of things going up. I mean, it's not uncommon to pay $50 for a bag of dog food, but if you look at the bag, it's only a 25 or 30 pound bag instead of a 40 or 50 pound bag like you used to get for large dogs. So in an effort to make it appear that the costs are the same, a lot of things today are smaller. You I used to like Three Musketeer bars over the years, and they've gotten pretty small.
Mm-hmm. I remember the nickel candy bars. I wanted to share because I go into the jail on a weekly basis, and I brought in information about letting the men know that who we are in Christ. And it was pretty profound this last Tuesday when we were talking about who we are in Christ. And we looked at Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we talked about that. And the smiles that went on the men's faces is because we are condemned. You know, we are condemned. The world condemns us. Our lifestyle condemns us until we surrender our lives to Christ, and then we are free. And just the men grasping that, what it means is that we don't have anyone that condemn us. You know, we don't have anyone. It's just like Jesus said to the adulteress, you know, like, you know, go and sin no more. You know, once we are free, and there's no one attacking us. The world tries to attack us, as all of us know, you know, and get us depressed. But we need to know that that there is no condemnation, that we are free, and we are to dwell on those things that encourage us. I kind of remember the verse right now. Dwell on these things. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good report is to concentrate on those things. And that's what we need to do, have our prayers and have our words, what we speak, represent him. Just like you said from the beginning, Kevin, it's like, that's how you counteract all the negativity.
That's right.
You speak the word of God. You speak truth. You speak life into people. And to see, like I said, to see those men's faces just light up, it's like, yeah, they can't condemn me anymore. I've surrendered my life to Jesus Christ.
Therefore,
there is no condemnation. And that's huge. You know, I mean, that was huge. Just grasping on that was just one of those things of who we are in Christ, that because of what he's done for us, dying on the cross and shedding his blood for us, we are free. We are free to live a life that is pleasing to him. And that's what what's so important.
And that's exactly it. And as I said in quoted Ecclesiastes 2 verse 14 earlier, 14a, I guess it's the first half, but the wise have eyes in their heads. I mean, we can see what's going on. We're not stupid, you know.
Right.
But then it goes on to say, those who do not have eyes in their heads, obviously, it says, but fools walk in darkness. And that's what's driving us crazy. I mean, it ends up that the fools are, you know, the Beatles had a song, wasn't it? The Beatles, A Fool on the Hill.
Yep.
That could be Capitol Hill they were talking about, the fools on the hill. But they're walking in darkness, and they're driving us nuts with this, that, and the more we see it, the more fear or concern is that some of this stuff is going to come to pass.
Yeah.
I mean, it's suggesting that for our pets, insect-based pet foods can be a nutritional complete and are starting to come into the market around the world. So rush out now and get your insect-based pet food.
Kevin, stop it.
I'm reading this. This is CNN. I mean, what I my concern is, if they got this wrong, how much else of what the news tells us is wrong? You know, I mean, there's some truth to it. Yes, insects can be good nutrition, but what are the motives behind this? help me out.
The mosquito is our friend.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah, we used to worry about them giving us the flu, or what was that, the Nile virus, something like
right.
that. So those mosquitoes traveled all the way from the West Nile to Minnesota. Anyway. As a general rule, the larger your pets will have a larger climate impact than smaller ones, so you might consider smaller breeds or species. If you're
downsized.
I mean, you might also consider how some, chihuahuas are acceptable. You might also consider some animal breeds tend to come with more health issues. I mean, let's avoid animals with known health problems. Let's just cast them away because they need veterinary intervention, which has a carbon footprint. I mean, unnecessary suffering and poor health and welfare. Another concern of mine is this line of thinking can be applied to humans.
Yes.
And I have heard rumors, rumors and of wars and different things, different countries doing suicide assisting for the very same reasons. While items like toys, bowls, litter, don't use the clay cat litter because clay is naturally occurring soil mineral, and it must be mined, which contributes to soil erosion, habitat destruction, and groundwater contamination. And that's just putting the clay into the bag to sell to you. So I think definitely these people have never lived on a farm or in the country.
I think we need to really seriously consider the possibility of not breathing anymore, because that would definitely decrease the negative emissions. If we don't breathe anymore, we're going to be favoring the habitat.
You know, I wasn't an A student in high school, but I do remember seeing a chart and told about how things work. I breathe out carbon dioxide, the trees breathe in carbon dioxide and produce oxygen. So,
right. So
how does that work? Why are we trying to cut carbon dioxide? Like 1,200 parts per million carbon dioxide in the atmosphere when they had jungles and thick growth covering the earth. And it was just green and growing like utopia. So the lack of CO2 in the atmosphere, 1,200, now I think they were saying it was 400 or 300. It took a sharp rise of 2%, and we're all going to die. Well, we're still not near 1,200%, which the place was flourishing. Just one of those arguments. I think God made it work, and if you have eyes and can see that there is this world is a nice place to live in. God provides all our needs.
Right.
You should be conscientious and, you know, clean up your yard. You know, if you live in a wooded area, don't throw your garbage in the woods. You know, send it to the landfill or disposal, wherever they where it's gotten rid of.
Yeah. There is some legitimate concern there, though. And here I'm just saying there's a little bit more to it, and that is when you look at these huge icebergs that are melting, and the predictions that it's going to raise the water level so that part of New York City will be underwater, and certainly the subways and other areas under the city will be flooded. Now, that's scary, and I think there's probably something to that. I mean, you've seen the pictures of the icebergs melting, thus far, it's not been a huge amount of increase of water, but that is a danger. And I know they're tracing that back to a lot of things, including global warming and other things. But I think there's some legitimate concern. But when we start getting into things like, okay, how much plant life is in the dog food and what kind of plants and so on, it seems like we're going to extremes then.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely extremes.
Yeah, to be concerned about that and then not treating each other with respect or dignity.
Right.
Or
yeah.
Listening to it. It's just out of whack.
Yeah.
That's my major concern is how we treat each other. And we're going to be held accountable before God. Okay, how did you treat your brother? Did you pray for your enemies? Did you give to the poor? Did you support the widows? Did you do the things I called you to do? And I'm reminded because I was watching season 2 of The Chosen, and
that's a good one. Yep.
Which is just fabulous because it really shows us, it shows us the various characteristics of the of the disciples and the differences in the disciples. But I love, I love the man that's portraying Jesus because he's never in a hurry. He's always confident, and he's not panicking. He's not screaming. He's speaking the truth, and he's speaking love and compassion and speaking ways of how to live our lives. And that's a question I have, every day for me is like, how am I going to live my life knowing these things are going on? Because like we said before, we're bombarded with those things and those inanities, about being concerned about cat and dog food, And I came up with this today. I said, it's better to be dumbfounded than to be found dumb.
That's
what do you think
right.
of that?
Better
to be dumbfounded than to be found dumb.
Right.
And one of the other things this morning is I realized is that, because it's all about forgiveness. God forgave us. He sacrificed his son so that we can be forgiven and we can be in a right relationship with God the Father again. And realizing everybody, when we get to heaven, everyone we meet will be people that have been forgiven. And that is really not necessarily encouraging, but it's like it puts forgiveness in the forefront of my life. Am I forgiving those that I don't agree with? Am I forgiving those who have harmed me and hurt me? Am I forgiving those people because we have been so forgiven? And so that's my prayer is I want to live my life showing compassion to the people around me and showing respect and kindness. And that's why I get on my bandwagon about these political ads and things, because it just my spirit just rises up inside and it says, no, don't be listening to those things. Don't be saying those things. What is the intention? And like you're saying, a worthy opponent, what we've done is we've created an atmosphere is that they're not worth listening to. They're not as worthy as we are. And it's like, boy, that is about as anti-biblical as you can get, because the only one worthy is the Lamb.
That's
worthy
right.
Is the Lamb. He is the one that's worthy. And as Jesus said, there is, don't call me a good teacher. There is no one, there's only one that's good, and that's God. God the Father. So I keep being brought back to that because it's heavy on my heart because I hear it all the time, and I'm encouraged to do what he's called me to do, and he's called me to bless other people. What a concept. Be kind to other people, listen to, be helpful to other, you know, share with other people, be generous to other people, and extend generosity to them. You know, if people make mistakes, it's like, you know, forgive them and don't hold those things against them, because God has a heart of compassion and he's just and merciful.
Yes.
And
right.
And that's what's so important to me, is to show mercy, judgment, not, you know, mercy, not judgment, because that's what we do. We judge. I don't agree with you. I judge you. You're not worthy to listen to. You don't exist. You are the enemy.
Right.
I like that. And what has God said? Love your enemies.
That's so, right.
That's what I like to see in a political announcement too, is like, yeah, love your enemies. Why don't you, how do you show love?
Yeah, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them.
Exactly. And the Lord, that's who, Kevin.
And that comes from 1 Corinthians 13:2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I could even remove mountains, and have not charity or compassion or thoughtfulness even, I am nothing.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. For King and Country, did a song on that, you know, just a sounding simple, a symbol.
A sounding symbol. Right. A gong.
And we're not. Yes.
Was that a New Year's Day noisemaker?
Yes, it was. We
okay.
So we only celebrate New Year's on one day. I'm looking forward, and Don brought this forward. We want to have a 10-day celebration, 10 Bible lessons on the Scripture, and then have a podcast on around that. Our last podcast that Don and I did together was on Simchat Torah. Did I say that right, Don?
Yep, sure did.
And what they did on that celebration is they celebrate the Word of God, the Torah, the Bible that was given to them, and they actually dance around the. There's many steps to it. They dance,
right.
And then they even dance right out the door, and
right.
And the whole focus is telling your sons and daughters about the Word. And I think it culminates when they're all in a room in a big circle, and this is a scroll, so that's why they're in a circle. They spread that scroll around the circle, and everybody holds a piece of it. And as it was told me, they each had a handkerchief or a paper towel so that the oils of their skin would not even touch that scroll. And symbol of this being a scroll in a circle is that we never stop reading the Word of God. So that's a celebration. Right. I thought that you have to listen to that podcast and then celebrate with us when we start our 10-day celebration. Coming up soon.
When does that begin?
When does that begin? I don't know. We have to decide when that.
No man knoweth the day or the hour.
Nope. We will. But whoops. And that was some of my joys. I mean, that 10-day celebration that's coming up. The other joy was this week on the daily Bible lesson. Brother Don is going through John chapter 17, which is my favorite chapter in the Bible. John chapter 17, it just explains exactly how it is, and so I'm looking forward to listening to those, other than through the producer's headphones. So I think after that we should start our 10-day celebration on the Bible lessons on Scripture.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the thing is, I was reading about that that festival that you guys spoke on last week.
Yeah.
And you know, and I was reading, and I saw where the fathers would have their children on their shoulders as they were reading it,
right,
and dancing
right
around. We need to celebrate. I think that's the word. We need to celebrate the goodness of God, the joy that we have in Him. And that will set us apart from everybody else, because there isn't a lot of joy, right, guys?
That's
there's
right.
Not a lot of joy.
And the joy of the Lord is our strength. I mean, that's our strength. So why are we feasting on gossip, innuendos, and untruths?
Right.
Because we're being force fed, but we don't have to.
Whatever is true, whatever is worthy, whatever is of good report,
right,
dwell on
right
these things. Dwell on these things. Stay
that's
in
right
the presence. That's the message that I give to the men in the jail, and the message I give to people I meet on the street is stay in His presence. Stay in His presence. Read His word. He is trustworthy. He is with you. He loves you. He will lift you up. And I gave James 4:10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. And we sang that at the jail. I said, close your eyes, guys,
right,
and just sing that song. And it changes everything, because it puts us in the right perspective with God the Father. And us humbling ourselves, He will lift us up. He will. It's a promise. Like I tell them, you draw near to Him, He's going to draw near to you. And I love that. And I think, Kevin, you remember that song, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up.
That's right.
And I love that.
Yep.
Because it creates the atmosphere of us worshiping and adoring God, adoring the man, the creator, the spirit that created the universe. And if we, you know, I'm being lifted up because I was just thinking about, as I sang that, when I brought up all about that political, all the slander and all the stuff that's going on, I'm lifted out of that if I stay in His presence and I sing unto Him and I read His word and I pray to Him and I pray with Him and I listen to what He has to say to me. That's where the victory is, in His presence is the victory. And we just need to, like all the listeners out there, stay close, stay in His presence, read His word, fellowship with other believers, encourage one another, pray for one another, lift each other up, and you will be lifted up. There's no doubt in my mind. We just can't stay in that atmosphere. Like you said, Kevin, we're being programmed. You know, we're being
that's right
programmed. We're being force fed, and it's like, no, in the name of Jesus, no, you stop that. So for me, I realized I'm turning it off. I mean, I'm turning it off. I don't want to hear, because every person that they're demeaning and putting down and judging, they're all made in God's image. And we need to remember that we are all made in God's image.
10 days that we're going to set aside to celebrate Scripture. You know, the Word, celebrate the Word and the goodness and joys that God brings us through that.
Amen.
That's so exciting. And I'm getting excited. Well, we just need to keep our focus on Him. It's real simple. Focus on Him, not on what the enemy is doing around the world. We need to focus on Him and the goodness of Him and do what He's called us to do. And be obedient, because we are represent Him wherever we go. We are His people, and I'm thankful that He took me out of the muck and showed me that life is worth living, and it's worth living because of Him, what He's done for me.
There is one other issue I think we might spend a few minutes with.
Okay.
And that is our direction for the future, because it's important that we're guided by God in this. And sometimes God will use people in our listening audience to help us see where we need to go and where we have missed perhaps in the past.
Right.
And I would just encourage everyone that's listening, that has listened over the last several weeks and months, to give us some feedback in that area, to tell us where, not just where we're strong, we appreciate those comments where it says, you know, you've done this right, but to tell us where we're missing anything, where we need to address some issues that we haven't addressed, to deal with scripture that perhaps has been not dealt with as much as it should be. Immediately, the book of Job comes to mind, and Job is a hard one to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other scriptures that perhaps we've missed along the way. But I just challenged Kevin and Sandy, where do you think that there is a need here? In what areas do we need to maybe refocus and spend more attention on some other issues than what we have? Or do you feel like we've pretty well stayed the course and we're covering the bases?
Yes, and the phone number to express your joys, concerns, or prayers is 218-461-0164, and we'd love to hear from anyone that has a concern or a joy or feels that we have not discuss something that should be discussed. Hear Gospel Network is an intergenerational, Christ-centered, not-for-profit internet mission church, a network of believers from many different backgrounds who are passionate about reaching out to others. Your Voice in the Wilderness, a church online since 98, now known as pgn.church, operates 100% on your tax-deductible donations.